There's such a beautiful, sweet tenderness this morning. I wonder if we could just spend a few moments just quietening our hearts. Maybe even closing your eyes and just setting our gaze and our focus fully upon the Lord this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Passage of scripture, just with your eyes closed and not being distracted by anyone. It's a well-known passage of scripture. Jesus says to you and to me in Matthew 11 verse 18, he says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden. Come to me if you're tired. Come to me if you're exhausted. Come to me if life has just been really, really difficult lately." And he's not talking about specific areas of life. He's talking about every area of life. If you are here this morning and you've been laboring, if you're here this morning and life has just been difficult and been tough, Jesus says, "Come to me. I will give you rest." I will give you rest. He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me." And then he describes himself in two words. He says, "I am gentle and I am lowly. I'm gentle and I'm humble." You will find rest for your souls. So, Father, before we take one more step forward this morning, we want to acknowledge who you are, that you are gentle and you are humble, that you are meek and you are lowly, that you are not cruel and harsh, that you are not strong and overbearing, we need rest this morning. And rest isn't all of our problems disappearing. Rest is the finding the person of Jesus in the middle of every situation and every circumstance of everything we are going through. Finding the person of Jesus. So we come here this morning not to sing songs, not to hear sermons. Those are all good things, but the reason we're here this morning to find the person of Jesus. Because in him we find our rest. If you are anxious this morning, if you are stressed this morning, if you are worried this morning, whatever it might be about, your rest is not going to come from sorting those problems out. Your rest is going to come from the person called Jesus. our gentle, kind, tender, humble Savior. He is not too far removed that he can't see our challenges. He's not standing at a distance, missing the details. And so maybe even as we're just seated here this morning, whatever areas in your life you don't have rest, whatever areas in your life where there's anxiety or worry or concern, let's just take a moment to bring that to him this morning. Jesus, we come to you to find rest right here, right now. We know that you care for us more than we could ever imagine. We know that you know every hair on our head and every day of our lives, that you are infinitely interested in every detail of our lives, that nothing is too small for you to care about, and nothing is too big for you to take care of. So we surrender this morning and give you everything. We take your yoke and we give you our burdens and we ask for rest this morning. Thank you, Jesus. I don't want to rush through this morning. I feel like there's a fresh grace here this morning to receive rest in the way that God intended it. And there are normally three indications in your life that'll help you figure out whether you are in rest or not. The first indication is wrestling. Wrestling with our own thoughts, wrestling with our own doubts. Wrestling at times with God of how we think it should go or how we think it should work out. So if you are wrestling this morning, I want you to know that's not your portion, that's not the promise. God doesn't want you to wrestle. We know the story about Jacob who wrestled with God, but there was nothing in that wrestle. It was in his resting that he became Israel, when he laid his head down and rested. And so if you are wrestling this morning with what does my future look like, God? If you are wrestling this morning, God, will I ever find the right person or the right partner? If you are wrestling this morning with God, my life has been so difficult and so tough, whatever you are wrestling with, that is not God's portion or his promise for you. He says, come to me. Bring all your wrestles to me. Bring all of your fights to me. And as you give them to me, I will give you rest in return. And rest can sometimes feel like such a pointless thing, because God, but we must be good stewards and do all of these good things and fight the good. No. In Exodus 14, he says, stand still and I will fight your battles for you. So if you're wrestling this morning, it means you are not currently in a place of rest. The second thing that's a very good indication that you are not in a place of rest is if you are in a rush. God, this should have happened by now. I should be this far in my career. I should be this far as a leader in church. I should be this far in my walk with you. By now, God, more things should have happened. I should have been more successful. My life's a mess at this stage of the journey, God. When you feel like you are in a rush to get to something, or if you feel like you're in a rush because you're not there yet, it's an indication that we've exited rest. And maybe you're here this morning and you're saying, I should be married by now. I should have a career by now. I should have kids by now. I should have a breakthrough in my relationship with the Lord by now. I should have broken this thing by now, by now, by now. And you've hijacked the Lord's timing. And you're in a rush. I want to get through this season as fast as I can. I want to get through this difficulty as fast as I can. God, this is so tough. I want to get out of this. And we're rushing ahead of not only the timing of God, but ultimately His will. When we're rushing, there is no rest. Sometimes even rushing to fix ourselves, rushing to make ourselves more like Jesus, rushing to be better Christians, whatever it is that's causing you to rush, whether it's pushing you or pulling you, it's taking you out of a place of rest. And then the third one, that's a very obvious one, is just restlessness, where I'm no longer content with what I have. I'm not satisfied with what the Lord has given me. Psalm 23 tells us, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Other translations say this, I lack no good thing. Sometimes speaking to my children, I have to tell them, if we don't have it, it's because God doesn't want it for us, or He's got something better for us. But so many of us spend our lives discontent, thinking, if I could have this, then I would be happy. If I have this amount of money or this career or if I could get here, and I promise you it'll never happen, because as followers of Christ, nothing can bring us contentment other than Christ Himself. And so if we are discontent and unsatisfied with what we have, we've exited rest. And I felt the Lord say this morning, as this word was coming through, Return to rest. Return to my peace. Return to my joy. Return to my place where I am your shepherd, where I make sure that you lack nothing, where I lead you and guide you, where I lay you down in green pastures beside still waters, where I restore your soul. I'm going to read that for us quick to allow the Word of God just to saturate us. David writes this, and David says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside still waters." And this is my favorite line in this whole psalm, is, "He restores my soul. He restores my soul. He restores the way I think. The way I think about the world, the way I think about myself, the way I think about Him. He restores my heart, every disappointed part, every broken part, every part that is disconnected from Him. He comes in and restores it. But this can only happen from a place of rest." It goes on to say that He leads me in the right paths. And I want you to know this morning that if we let go and allow the Lord to take control over our lives, that we begin to enter into a place called rest, because He becomes our shepherd. He leads us and He guides us. He provides for us. He prepares a place before us. And He begins to renew and restore every part of our lives. God's promise for you, for your life, is not the absence of resistance, but the presence of rest. Not the absence of challenges, not the absence of enemies, not the absence of difficulties, but that if you allow Him to be your shepherd, to lead you and to guide you, that you will lack nothing. That you will lack nothing. And right at the end, it says that surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, when the Lord is our shepherd. And I want to tell us all this morning, including myself, that rest is not a place we get to. Rest is not a place we go to, it's a person called Jesus. When He is in me and I am in Him, when He comes and wraps His arms around me and tells me everything's going to be okay. And what I realized about rest is there's only one true gateway into rest, and that is called trust. It is impossible to rest if you don't trust. And for you and I this morning, that is often the greatest battle. Truly trusting God. Truly trusting Him in a way that we can rest and rely fully on Him. And it's not only our battle here and now, it's been the battle from the beginning of time, where in the Garden of Eden, Eve came and this devil spoke to Eve and the snake spoke to Eve and said, "Did God really say that?" And she began to eat away. The snake began to eat away. The devil ate away at Eve's trust. Did God really say that? And it's been the same tactic from day one, because the devil knows that if he can get you to doubt God and to not trust God, that you will spend the rest of your life outside of rest, striving and working and trying to earn something that He's already given. So I want to take a moment just to respond to that this morning. And as you're seated here in this room, think about that area that is pulling you out of rest. Think about that concern. Think about that fear. Think about that thing that is causing you to worry, that's causing you to be anxious, that's causing you to strive. Think about that achievement that you're chasing. Think about that thing. Once I get there, then I will be able to. Think about the thing that's hurting you the most this morning, whatever it might be. I pray, Holy Spirit, that right now you would reveal to all of us the place that we are restless, the place that we're wrestling, and the place, Lord, where we have not fully yielded to you, where there's a rush. And I wonder, as you're thinking about that area or that concern, and it might be multiple, we could just in our own words, in our own time, say, God, I trust you with this. I trust you with my marriage. I trust you with my children. I trust you with my career. I trust you with my finances. For some of us this morning, I trust you with my past. I've done so many things, God, and I've messed up so many times. And it's been up and down and around the mountain over and over again. And I feel there's a grace to break that pattern of restlessness this morning. I choose to trust you with this, Lord. We're not going to rush through this. We're going to rest in this place. Don't miss this opportunity. Don't think I've tried this before. Joshua and his friends had a walk around Jericho 7 times. Trust you. Father, Jesus, me as your son Luke this morning, in front of all of my family and friends, I want to say to you this morning that I trust you with our finances. Personally, for me, trust you with our finances, Lord. I trust you that you will go before us and prepare the way, that you will provide, that as long as we continue to build your house, that you would build our house. I trust you with my children, Lord. But even in my busyness, and that my children would not be neglected, that you would secure their future in spite of my weaknesses, in spite of my shortcomings, in spite of the times I'm not a good dad, that you would secure their future because of you, not because of me. So I trust you with my children. I trust you with my future. I don't know even know what tomorrow holds, let alone the day after that. And I just want to say this morning that it doesn't matter, I don't care. I want to follow you daily, and you will be my shepherd, and you will lead me, and you will guide me. I trust you. I trust you for the areas that maybe I feel I lack. That you promise me that if I follow you, that I will lack no good thing. Thank you, Jesus. I just want to encourage you to take a moment just to pray your own words. Pray that prayer. I trust you. Some of us this morning have children and relatives that are far from the Lord. We want to see their salvation. We want to see them come to know Jesus. And maybe you've tried, maybe you haven't tried. Doesn't matter this morning. Just saying, Lord, I trust you with their salvation. It doesn't matter how far they are. I've seen you turn all sorts of people back to you, Lord. I trust you with their salvation. I feel for this morning also that people that have been caught in patterns and cycles in life, and then they try hard and there's breakthrough and then it falls down again. And you're like, oh. And for those people, whether that's just behavior and lifestyle or even areas of sin and addiction, I trust you. And this next one's quite important. I feel people caught up in sin and addiction. And the challenge is that they don't want to give it up. And you're like, God, a part of my problem is that I enjoy this and I don't want to give it up. And even this morning, I want to say, trust God that He would take away your appetite for that. Trust God that He would remove your desire for that. It is not by our might nor by our power. It's not by our strength or our ability, but by the Spirit of God that we live and move and have our being. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I feel that I want to create some room for the Spirit of God to move this morning. And maybe just put our plans on hold for a second and see what the Lord does. The Bible says that where two or three agree on earth, so shall it be in heaven. So there's such a power in unity. And that's why even for me, as I prayed this morning for my own restlessness, I wanted to do it twofold. I wanted to model something for you of something that I wrestle with in my life. But also I wanted to bring it to us as a family. Because as we pray together and share one another's burdens together, we see God move in a way that is just really, really unique. It's a beautiful thing. And I wonder if we just create a moment, if anyone else wants to come on the mic and just pray and say, Lord, I need rest in this area. And we can come in agreement with you.
Lord Jesus, I just want to pray to you so that I trust you, that you will break the cycle of anxiety that I have, the stress that I have, and this feeling that I have to do it myself, Lord. I just want to say I'm sorry, and I say I trust you, Jesus. Amen.
Yeah, Lord, I just want to say today that I trust you with my brother's future, God. I know that he's held in your hands, Lord. Yeah, Lord, I give control over to you, God. Yeah, Lord.
Yeah, Lord. Lord, I want to repent and I want to ask you to forgive me. Just as a wife, as leading a couple, Lord, where I go beyond serving and go into management, Lord. And I just want to say, God, that I trust you with our future, God. And I trust you with where you are taking us. And I trust you with your timing for our lives, God. And that you will forgive me for wanting to move forward like it's a good thing, but also like to managing that and taking it into my own hands, Lord.
Father God, I just want to ask that you restore families, that Father God, I pray over my own family, that Holy Spirit, the hurts and the shame that my family had to endure, that Holy Spirit, I pray for a supernatural relationship with you again, that Father God, I pray that you will release us from the hurt and the death and the things that we had to endure and see, that Father God, no weapon formed against us shall prosper. And Lord, I declare healing and unity over the families in South Africa, that Father God, the next generation of men and women that are rising will be leaders with hearts of servants, that we will be more like you, Lord, and less like us. I pray for unity over our homes and breakthrough of revival of love. In Jesus' name I pray, Lord. Thank you. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you help me to overcome the last four problems I'm struggling in my life, Jesus. I also thank you, and I'm trusting also for a family and my own one day, Lord. And I pray you help me to be trusting you in your perfect timing. Help me to have a place of my own and for my own, Lord. And for things that the enemy has done damage to me, Lord Jesus. And I pray for spiritual revival for my family that is not safe, Lord Jesus. And I pray, God, that you help me to completely remove me from this last problem, Lord Jesus, that you make me completely pure in your sight. And to walk in the fullness you have for me, Lord. And what are plans you have for me, Jesus? I pray you'll break this complete stronghold, Lord, over me. And to have more boldness for you all, for the lost, Lord. And then we'll come into your kingdom. I pray and ask this in your mighty name, Jesus. Amen.
Lord, I just want to pray for one thing for this year. Just having faith in you and trusting in you and not comparing myself to my fellow brothers and sisters in the things that I don't have or I don't know about this year, and me not having a jealous heart on what they have, and being humble in serving in what you've given me and what you've revealed to me. Just having the heart to steward that properly.
Yeah, Lord, I just want to thank you that you're not far away from us, Jesus. You're not far away from me, Lord. And I'm so sorry for just resisting you, resisting your spirit, Lord. Resisting your ways, God. Thinking that you're not good. And Lord, I'm trusting, I'm going to just like surrender my calling, whatever I think that is, whatever I think it looks like, God. Being a good husband, being a good dad. Lord, you said that whoever follows Jesus wouldn't walk in darkness, but that you're the light of the world, Lord, that we would have the light of life if we follow you, Jesus. So I just want to trust your word, God, that if I feel like I'm walking in darkness, it's because I'm not following you, Jesus. I'm not trusting you. So yeah, I just want to surrender to you, Lord. I know that you're good. You have better ways. Your ways are good, Lord God. And yeah, thank you that you're close by. You're near, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Lord, I want to say I'm sorry for holding myself up to such an unrealistic standard. and for allowing myself to take on so much anxiety because I'm not reaching that standard. Lord, you are my strength. And I'm sorry for believing the lie that I need to do better. That I need to try more, that I need to do more, that I need to achieve more. Please, Lord, help me find contentment in achieving what you have for me to achieve, and nothing more and nothing less, Lord. But Lord, I want to say that today I'm going to stop believing the lie of anxiety over my studies. The lie that I'm only good enough if I do well. Jesus, today I'm choosing your peace over everything that regards my studies.
I mean, I actually felt like I had a prophetic word for a specific guy, and it might be for more than one. But Michael, there's a guy sitting next to you, green shirt over a white shirt. Man, I just feel like the Lord has called you to build with him. And I don't know what that means or what it looks like, but I feel like you have a sense in you that the Lord has got something for you, that he's got this task for you, and there's almost been a desire to down tools out of the tiredness or the difficulty of it or maybe the size of it. And I feel like the Lord is asking you to trust him. Would you trust him with his call? Would you trust him with the task? Would you trust him beyond even maybe what your own abilities would lead you to feel like you can do? And to actually just trust him almost with the step-by-step of it. And that if you would look to him, and even this word, I feel like he wants you to pray and to ask him what this even looks like and to trust him for the step by step by step. But that if you have grown tired in this thing, I feel like I'm saying, man, will you go again? Will you go again? Like one more? Would you go again? And I just feel like if you would, you might see him do something in your life that is maybe bigger even than you expect. Is that okay?
Thank you first, Jesus, for just giving me strength to stand here. Lord, I just want to say that I trust you, Lord, that you have aligned my step, Jesus. Father, Lord, I trust you that you have broken the cycles, Lord, where I would give up and one day I'll get up again. Father, Lord, I trust that you have broken that cycle, Lord. Father, Lord, I pray right now, Father, Lord, that in this transition, Father, Lord, that I'm going through, Father, Lord, I want to trust you, Jesus. May my mind have no doubt, Lord, that you have placed me where I'm supposed to be today, Lord. Father, Lord, I thank you and I trust you, Lord, for my son, Jesus Christ, that as a mom, Father, Lord, I'm doing a great job because I'm leaning on you, Jesus, to guide me, Lord. Father, Lord, I trust you, Father, Lord, with my life, Lord, as I'm navigating through as a young lady, Father, Lord. Sometimes I may not know all the answers, Lord, but trust that, God, that you are holding my hand, Lord. You are guiding me, Jesus. I trust, Lord, that I will not fail again, Jesus. I trust, Lord, that even if I feel like I'm failing, Lord, but with you, Lord, that it's a win, Jesus Christ. I trust, Father, Lord, as I step into the new life in my career, Lord, that you will guide me, you will hold my hand, Father, Lord. I trust, Lord, that you will give me rest, Father, Lord. I trust that I'll find peace, I'll find love, I'll find joy in you, Jesus. I find I will not lack, Lord. I will not feel like I need to be alone or remove myself from people, Lord. I trust that, Lord, you have stepped me into the right direction, Lord. I trust you, Jesus, that I'll find strength in you. I'll find joy, Jesus Christ, that every day when I wake up, I'll know that it is because of you, Jesus. I believe, Lord, that you are with me even in this moment. You are with me in every season, Lord. And I'll trust you, Jesus, in my next season in my life. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, amen.
I just felt the Lord say to me that we can trust him because Jesus is able, and that word of able, and he holds the desire and ability and the determination to do for us. So yeah, thank you, Lord, that we can trust you because you are able.
Yeah, Lord, the prayer for me is an area of rest, is the future. But actually, as our family's future, my children's future, but it actually comes into decisions, Lord. Yeah, Lord, so often when we've sought you, when we've been accountable, when we've laid it down, we've given it and made a decision, yeah, Lord, I don't always find rest in that. I doubt, I almost go, oh, did we, what now, God? And I ask for rest. I ask for where we've sought you, God. We've sought your heart and we've been accountable and we've moved ahead, Lord, that we will find rest in those decisions, that actually, after that, everything is actually in your hand. Our future, our children's future, family's future, the people we walk with's future, those you give us a level of influence over, Lord, it's in your hands, Lord, and we can only seek you, God. I ask for rest in that place. In the name of Jesus. Yes.
Lord, an area that's stealing so much of my peace and my rest is just control. Wanting to control situations, wanting to control the future, whether it's my family, my kids, their health, my health, our finances, and knowing where that thing came from, Lord, of past hurt, and I know that you're good, but I'm struggling to believe it, and I'm wanting to control situations in fear of the future. So I'm sorry, Lord. Help me with my control.
Yeah, Lord, I'm sorry that I put unrealistic expectations on myself, and I want to repent that I've disappointed myself, that it's led sometimes to gluttony, Lord, knowing that, yeah, Lord, you're the only one that can truly satisfy, and I know that, Lord. Yeah, Lord, I trust and I know that you've got a plan, Lord, and that you've got a good plan, Lord, and I know I don't need to wrestle to make better plans myself, Lord. Because I know that you've got amazing plans, Lord, and that I can trust in that, and that I can look to you and know that you're the only one that can satisfy.
Just to encourage you guys, for those of you maybe that are quite new or haven't experienced something like this before, this is what true community and family and fellowship is. It's not some guy standing up front here and preaching a great word and everyone going home high-fiving each other. That's a part of it, but for us to be able to be vulnerable and be our truth selves with one another. And just to unpack that a little bit scripturally, the Bible says that confess your sins to one another and you will be not forgiven, healed. I want you to know that so many of the dysfunctions that we have in our lives, so many areas of sin actually, is because we've been hurt. we've had a lack or been deprived in certain areas. Maybe it might be love or kindness or affection or attention. We have this lack in our lives and we've been hurt. And then we often respond and react in a way that is fleshly. But here's the problem. Many of us here this morning, because the areas of sin and areas of brokenness, we almost take on shame and guilt and all of these secondary sort of things. And then we live under this weight. But I want you to know this morning that 99% of the things that you think are wrong with you, 99% of the areas that you think I'm sinning and falling, the root cause to most of those things is hurt. Somewhere along the line, at some stage in your life, you were hurt and you responded in this way. So when the Bible says, confess your sins to one another, come to one another, share your brokenness, share your shame, share your guilt, share your sin with one another, and you will be healed. As much as we need forgiveness, what we need even more than that is healing and wholeness. And God doesn't just want to stop at forgiveness. He wants to take us to a place called wholeness, where we're walking in the fullness of who He is. And so what we're doing this morning is actually very, very biblical and very, very helpful and very, very healing. So I do want to encourage you, even moving forward, the greatest sin is not necessarily the one you committed, it's the one that follows. Adam and Eve ate of the fruit, but that didn't distance them from God. It's when shame and guilt crept in that they withdrew from God. And so it's often when we sin, the biggest consequence is not the sin itself, it's the shame, it's the guilt, it's the withdrawing and hiding from God. And I want you to know that there's no safer place on earth than with God and with His people. And so as people shared this morning, I hope that you were encouraged also to realize you're not the only one going through things. We all are. We're all broken. None of us is like Jesus yet. None of us is perfect. The Bible says that every single one of us have fallen short. And so it's okay to be broken. It's okay to have issues. We don't want to stay there, but it's okay. And so as we shared this morning, I hope you're encouraged that this is a safe space. But even more so, as we shared this morning, we partner together in one another's burdens. That as we shared, we pray with each other and partner, and there's unity. And I'm hoping that even those that shared this morning were able to find healing. I look at so many miracles in the Word of God. And you would be shocked how many of them were first initiated by man. Man took the first step. Blind Bartimaeus sitting on the side of the road, completely blind, sitting there, and he's hearing every day, he'd sit at the same spot and he'd hear the people walking past. And then one day, he hears a bit more people than usual. One day, he hears a few more voices and a few more steps than usual. And blind Bartimaeus gets up, throws his cup with all of his coins away, drops his robe, everything he has, and pushes his way through the crowd, shouting, Jesus, Son of David, if you're here. He doesn't know where he is. If you're here, come to me, Jesus, come to me, pushing his way through. And all the other people were going, sit down, shut up, go away. Leave Jesus alone. And blind Bartimaeus put his pride aside, put his provision aside, put everything he had aside to walk towards Jesus. And now the challenge is, for many of us, we're like blind Bartimaeus, but we don't get up. And so we hear Jesus walking by. We hear the crowd increase. We hear the shouting and the celebrations. So we're close enough to feel like we're a part of it, but because we aren't prepared to take that step, we remain seated in that street corner for the rest of our lives. And many of us are often like that. I'm embarrassed about what people will think, or God can meet me here. God did not meet blind Bartimaeus on the street corner. God didn't go to the woman with the issue of blood. She had to get up and fight her way through the crowd. Now, as she was fighting her way through the crowd, people are saying, you're unclean, you shouldn't be here. This is dishonoring, and accusing her and condemning her, and still she fought her way through the crowd. And I want to encourage you that maybe your breakthrough that you're looking for is on the other side of you stepping out of some things and finding Jesus where he is at. Jesus can meet me in my seat. We would not be speaking about the woman of the issue of blood 2,000 years later if she had that attitude. I'm not going to step forward. God knows my heart. We would not be speaking about blind Bartimaeus 2,000 years later if he didn't get up off that street corner. And there was great resistance. This is friendly and beautiful, and we celebrate one another. But maybe, just maybe, the breakthrough you're looking for is on the other side of pride. On the other side of preference. Maybe you've been going around the mountain over and over again because you're on your street corner thinking Jesus can come to me. Maybe he will. But also maybe he won't. I don't know. But what I want to tell you is one of the household and the family members here, every time I hear him walking by, every time I feel him moving, every time I hear there's something different in the room, I want to throw everything aside and run towards him, because I don't want to miss this opportunity. I don't want to take that risk of Jesus walking by, but I'm on my street corner, not prepared to move. So I do want to encourage us, be bold, be courageous, but above everything, be desperate. When God is in the room and on the move, be desperate.
I don't know why, but I've never... I know Jesus as the healer, and I know him as a healer, but I've never trusted him with my healing and my body and my mind. So, yeah, Jesus, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, I don't even know why, but I know I'm sorry, but I don't know why I don't trust you with my own. So, yeah, Lord, I trust you. I trust you with my body, and I trust you with my healing, and I also am in addiction, and I really enjoy vaping, and I don't want to stop, but I want to, and I hate that I'm secretive about it, and I hate that it takes me away from God. Oh, Jesus, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Would you take this from me? I actually trust you. I trust that you would take this from me.
Father, you know that I have a child that I've been praying for. For 34 years. The Lord, help me to trust you. I can do nothing for your salvation. But I trust that when you call him, he will hear. Lord, help me trust. As the leader was, he asked for us to consider a word or a tongue. These words came to me, and it was about being in the Lord's presence, and in His presence. These are the words that came to me. Just so I was sitting there, and I just quickly noted them. In His presence, He comforts us. He guides us. He loves us. He restores us. He forgives us. He heals us. He protects us, He gives us rest, and He provides for us. But you can only have those things if you're in His presence. And there's been a number of young people here. I think that lady there and this gent here, I think. I just want you to know that you are enough. Okay, you are all enough as you are. The world gives you this strong, ideal self-image that you need to strive for. You don't need to strive for that. You are enough as you are right here for Jesus. And if you're in His presence, you can experience all of these things which I've just read out. I just pray for trust for myself and for you, for whatever you are trusting in. May the Lord bless you.
Yeah, Lord, this thing, this father's heart, this father who cries out for his son, Tim. Our Father, this is how you feel for all of us. All of us who are stuck, all of us who are trapped. It is for this reason that you sent your son to die, so that we could have freedom and so that we could have a hope. Lord, I want to thank you that actually Brett's heart as a father now invokes something beautiful in you. It invokes a response in you as he stands and prays for his boy. And Lord, we do right now want to raise Tim to you. We want to plead, Lord. We want to plead for his life. We want to plead for his salvation. Lord, would you come and would you move? Whatever brokenness is there in Tim's heart, Lord, would you come and would you comfort him? Would you heal him, Lord? Would you turn him to you so that he could repent, so that he could be healed, so that he could meet actually his forever Father? Oh, Lord, for Brett and Cheryl, I pray for the deep comfort that comes from knowing you, Father. I pray that those very words Brett was sharing would be the truth in his heart and in his soul, Lord, that you would come and bind those words almost to his heart, Father. Oh, Lord, would you comfort them? Would you comfort them as a family? Would you put faith in them as a family, Lord? Would you cause them to keep praying, to keep contending, to keep fighting for the life of their son, knowing that you can, that you're the only one who actually can, Lord, that Brett on his best day can't change his son's heart. But Jesus, you can. When you move, you can. And so, Lord, would you come and do it, Lord. And Father, I pray that in all of this, that you'd put just a deep peace and a deep rest in Brett's heart, Father. A deep peace and a deep rest in Cheryl's heart, in Christine's heart, in Howie's heart, as they long to see Tim turn to you. And Father, we know that as much as our hearts cry out, Lord, that you weep over that boy, that you pray over that boy, that you will give him every chance and every opportunity to turn to you. Love you, Jesus. Oh.
I just wanted to come forward and say, I think the thing that holds me back, troubles me and causes deep distress and restlessness is, just the belief that God is harsh and I act out of that harshness and I have daily I have thoughts and arrows that come at me that I'm not forgiven for the things I've done in the past. And so I act out of that, you know. I'm harsh it just comes out of me. There's a time where the harshness will just come out, and I hold God in a wrong view. And I know He's not harsh, but somehow, so it's just a whirlwind of like, you know, not feeling, not truly believing I'm forgiven, and therefore, believing God is harsh. Acting harshly towards me, and so therefore I act harshly towards people. Yeah, and I want to break that cycle. I've been stuck in it for long enough.
Choosing to trust God that I am exactly where I'm supposed to be, that I am enough,
and there's I'm not too much in errors or that I'm not doing enough, then I'm also trusting that where I do lack, that I hear his voice. He's a good father and he will guide me. So I don't have to worry whether I don't have to measure myself, because the Lord will help me in that.
Yeah, Lord. Yeah, God, I trust you with the areas and the moments when I like to depend on my own productivity and the level at which I do things in excellence to find my worth, Lord. Yeah, Lord, I thank you, Father, that I can, from now on, Lord, approach you as a father in each moment, God, and not just in those moments when I feel like everything is going so well. Yeah, Lord, thank you for how faithful you are, God. And yeah, I want to tell you today that I want to trust you, Lord, in each of these areas. Amen.
Your Lord, I just want to trust you with something that I've been wrestling with, going back and forth in my mind, Lord. I trust you, Lord, with my desire for marriage, and I know that I'm not the only one here, Lord, and I pray that you'd give any other person who feels that way, Lord, who feels that the desire might be wrong or that they've been disappointed so much in the past and rejected so much in the past, or maybe haven't received enough from their families or the people around them, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would lead us to trust you with this desire again, Lord, because this desire is from you, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you would give us clarity, that you would clear up any confusion, Lord, and that you would release us from any other sources of comfort that we tend to run to, Lord. And Lord, I pray that you would release me from feeling guilty about desiring it, Lord, and for not feeling content. Oh, Lord, I know that you love me. I know it for a fact. And I'm so sorry that it doesn't always feel like enough to me. I'm so sorry that I desire someone to love me in the physical as well. Yeah, and I know that I'm not alone, Lord. So I pray, Lord, that you would, just help me to trust you with that desire again. Amen.
So we're going to bring the meeting to a close shortly. It's been a most beautiful time. I do want to encourage us that are sitting and listening that you're not just spectating, but you're witnessing. I saw Rihanna sitting in the back and extending a hand and praying for Elenika. She's standing here. That we're in this together, that it's not a spectating, it's a witnessing, where I see your burden and I come alongside you. So the Bible tells us, confess your sins to one another and you will be healed. The second point that I wanted to mention was to touch on what Daryl shared, that it says the kindness and the goodness of God leads us to repentance. And what that means is, instead of Adam and Eve that hid away, that when we fall or when we make mistakes or when we fail, that we see his kindness and his goodness and we run to him. Instead of being fearful of judgment, instead of being fearful of him being harsh or critical or punishment, no. He's the safest place on earth. And we should run to him with every burden, with every worry, with every concern and care, with every sin, with the deepest, darkest parts of ourselves. We should run to him because he is kind. And so I do want to encourage us as we move forward in our journey with the Lord, if we are able to believe and trust that he is kind, then he will always be a safe place to run to when we need him most. And then the third point that I want to mention to us this morning is that the Bible tells us that after repentance comes times of refreshing. And you can imagine, I don't know what you feel like, but sometimes if I've sinned or messed up or made a mistake, or even if I'm just anxious and worried or I've got pressure, it feels like I've got a weight on my chest. And I feel sometimes, oh God, I just feel heavy. I just feel like, oh, I've messed up and I'm disappointed and life is tough and it feels like I'm carrying the weight of the world. And the Bible tells us that as we repent, when we come to him and go, God, here's my burden, God. Here's my sin, God. And we come to him face to face, that times of refreshing will follow. That weight and that burden lifts off, that darkness goes, that we're no longer hiding, but we find him. And I want to encourage us, if there's one thing we can do for the rest of our lives, learn to repent. He is gracious forever. He is kind forever. He is forgiving forever. But he can't forgive sins that you haven't brought to him. He can't forgive things that are hidden and withheld from him. So know him to be kind. Know him to be faithful. Know him to be merciful. And if we can take one thing from this morning, is a blessing and a joy to come before God and say, heal me, fix me, change me, give me rest and let me find refreshing in you.